Hi, and welcome to the fan commentary for the film Toy Story, made by members of Pixar Planet. This is Andy, also known as Jesus Freak.
Hello, everyone. This is Lightning Eclipse, also known as Caitlin.
Hi, I'm Laura, also known as Lizard Girl.
Hello, this is Rachel, also known as Rachel Cakes 1985.
And I'm the Star Swordsman, TSS, or Michael.
I'm Peter, also known as QuickSynixMe, and I'll be recording the commentary, but I won't be commentating. What you want to do is load up the movie, press play, and pause it when the first spark of magic dust appears in the Disney logo. And when I say play, click play. Is everyone ready?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, play.
So this is Pixar's very first feature film. It was released on November 22nd, 1995. And this is also our very first feature fan commentary.
This is also the first ever CGI animated movie, correct?
Yes.
The first full-length one, I believe.
Yeah, apparently it took, like, each frame took 4 to 13 hours to make, so sort of like the very first, because the computers were so old at the time.
And I actually believe, according to this book I have, this was apparently the first movie I ever saw in theaters, like ever, when I was like 3 years old or something. So I'm pretty fond of this movie because of that.
I love the misspelling of general.
Yeah.
I like the $50 bazillion reward.
I could use that.
Very famous Randy Newman music. I think Pixar made a compromise with Disney when they said that there should be some kind of music involved with singing, but Pixar didn't like the idea of having sort of proper singing along songs, so they came up with the idea of having Randy Newman sing along in the background.
Yeah.
They didn't want to have the characters break out of character and just to sing songs, so they compromised and had Randy Newman sing the songs that the lyrics would be what the character would say, and it works really well.
So they were actually thinking it was going to be a musical at first?
I think originally that's the path that Disney wanted it to go down.
Huh. It would have been interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. I forgot, how old was Andy Turing again?
I'm not sure.
I don't think they ever say.
I think
maybe 8 or 9.
Yeah, somewhere around
if
that age range.
In the background, also in this room, there are some silhouettes, like sort of painting silhouettes, and those are the same ones that they make in Disney World. They have artists there that can sort of freehand cut out silhouettes. So if you look on the walls in this room, there are a few dotted about.
Yeah, there are a few Disney references in here, as well as a lot of Pixar references. In Andy's room, there's the Mickey watch on the wall.
Oh, I never noticed that. I always thought the idea of this film was pretty smart because I think everyone at some point when they're a kid imagines like their toys coming to life when they leave the room and stuff like that. So, I don't know, I thought it was pretty clever.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I always like kind of checked under my bed and kind of walked back into my room afterwards to see if they were started moving around or not. I had a wild imagination.
Yeah, so did I. I would always position my toys so none of them were like laying on top of each other because I didn't want them to be uncomfortable. I was a weird kid.
Well, I think Pixar, the reason that Pixar chose toys is because they like to take objects and take, just take objects, but show them in a way that people don't usually see them, and to show toys as having feelings and having an objective, which is to be played with and to keep children happy. That's really cool.
Yeah. I like that little robot toy.
Me too. That was my favorite Pixar character.
Yeah.
I mean, Toy Story character before Woody and Buzz. Before I got into them.
Yeah, the little robot is pretty underrated, and even the background characters have a lot of expression if you keep an eye on them.
Yeah. I love Rex.
I love how Bo actually looks really, really shiny, kind of that plastic feel. You can almost kind of feel a solution, yeah.
You know, for being the first CGI animated movie, I think this film actually has some pretty good animation. I mean, it looks dated compared to today's standards, but it's not like it looks bad or anything.
Right.
It's still animated really well.
Yeah, it holds up pretty well. Yeah, it holds up pretty well. Even if you just compare it to Wall-E and then go back to here, it really doesn't look that bad.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I think they did a good job, and I mean, I even watch it, and I really don't. It doesn't really bother me. So now we've got Woody having the toy meeting, sort of all the things that pertain to being of an importance if you're a toy.
Kind of an obvious in-joke, but everyone always sees the books behind Woody there, you know, knick-knack, tin toy, which are
Pixar
short films.
Mm. There's also Scooter Run, because a book called Scooter Run, because at the old Pixar studios, they had kids' scooters and would race around the studios. I think Pixar would have been a really fun place to work at when Toy Story was being made. I mean, it would still be really fun now, but just that close-knit fun environment.
Yeah, I heard this movie kind of had like a troubled production history though. Like for a while they didn't think it was actually going to end up being made.
That line from Rex, I don't think I can take that kind of rejection. And I think one other line he says, that both from Back to the Future, I think, that film.
Yep, George McFly.
I guess the most important dates in any toys year would be Christmas, birthdays, and garage sales or yard sales, because that means new toys coming in and going out, and their place sort of being threatened in Andy's bedroom.
Or a fear they might get replaced. Hmm.
Life would be kind of depressing as a toy, I imagine, because what happens when the kid grows up? I mean, I guess they touched on that in Toy Story 2, but...
Yeah. Still not a very happy ending, because, you know, sooner or later you're going to end up under some bed or something or whatever, landfill the rest of your life. It's true.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm kind of glad toys don't really live. It'd be depressing.
Yeah. They don't?
Hate to break it to you.
It's like Father Christmas all over again.
I think that they might be touching on the or that even though they did touch on it in Toy Story 2, they'll be focusing on that with Toy Story 3, I guess, with Andy growing up.
Yeah, I heard he was like going, he's going off to like college or something in the next Toy Story movie.
And the child end up in a daycare center, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a couple, of different, storylines that I heard of, but I don't know which ones are confirmed or not. Because there was another one about Buzz being recalled back to Japan or something, but I don't know if that was scrapped or not.
Yeah.
That was good. That was the, when, Pixar was having trouble with Disney. Disney wanted to go ahead and they absolutely had the legal right to do so, to go and make a sequel to Toy Story. And, as far as I know, for Toy Story 3, they were going, a few years ago they announced plans on, Disney announced plans of making Toy Story 3, and that was going to be the storyline that Buzz gets recalled back to Taiwan. But I mean, with the Pixar change contract, Disney didn't have the right to do that anymore. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I remember hearing Toy Story 3 had been canceled, and then like a year or so later, I think hearing it was, they were making it again, and I remember being so confused because I didn't know which one was true or not. But now we know for sure it's being made, so.
I love the little Green Army Man.
I love that video that they have of the Pixarians, you know, strapping bits of wood to their feet and trying to see what it would be like to have a piece of plastic like between your feet as you walk.
They actually have a video like that.
Yeah, they actually did that. They practiced it just to make sure that when they animated it, the movement would be really like sort of authentic.
Uh-huh. That's funny.
Pixar actually kind of messed up with the whole receiver, the whatever it's
walkie-talkie.
The walkie-talkies, yeah, they kind of messed up there because I read up on it and they said that it's kind of backwards because from Woody's perspective, where he is, he's the only one that can, like, talk and everything and the other guys can hear him. So they kind of got it backwards.
Yeah, it's not a two-way system. It's just a one-way.
But I'm sure nobody really cares about that, so they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a big deal.
See the silhouettes there I was just mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic how toys don't know how to put in batteries when probably some of them really need to know how to put in their batteries.
That's true. I never thought about that.
And also because Woody's really the only one that's got the dexterity to do it. The other ones all have short little plastic arms, so.
Flimsy too.
That's the Luxo Jr. Starball from one of Pixar's short films.
Even the detail of the dirt and everything on the door, it's just so Pixar, isn't
it?
About those things.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say I like the way the door is animated, but I thought it would sound stupid.
I can completely understand the choice of Tom Hanks as Woody. I think in a Pixar book I've read, they were saying about how they've got to make Woody out as this really jealous character, but they didn't want the audience to sort of hate him or dislike him. So someone like Tom Hanks, who can be both kind of, you know, friendly and jealous, but still seem really nice, was definitely the best choice.
Yeah, I heard at first, like, Woody was a jerkier sort of character, and apparently they had to rewrite him to be more likable.
The reason why Woody sort of ended up being an unlikable character is because Pixar kept getting notes back from Disney, make the movie like this, make the character say this, and in an effort to make the movie seem more adult and less childish. But then what happened was Woody just ended up being a really unlikable and negative character. But so then Pixar went back and within the course of a few weeks went back and changed the character in a lot of the movie, so that Woody still has that more sort of authoritative, organized character, but he's also you can see where he's coming from, and you feel empathy for him, being a character that is sort of a bit insecure. So they ended up with a nice balance there.
Yeah.
A little fun fact, apparently at no point in the film do any of the characters blink at the same time, as in their eyes kind of blink one after the other, even if it's just a tiny amount of time between them.
Do you know the reasoning behind that?
I'm not sure. Maybe they wanted it to seem more realistic or something. I don't know, but...
I've always thought that the reason why their eyes don't blink, or the toys' eyes don't blink at the same time, is to sort of set the toys apart from the humans. I don't really get a good look at the humans, but I guess that would be the reason.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. That probably is it. So then they're kind of slightly... they're trying to be human, but they're not quite.
This is something that some people might not know, but Buzz Lightyear's facial features are based on John Lasseter's, loosely based, not completely, but... mostly the eyebrows and the dimple on his chin is a lot like
I did not know that.
A bit of a resemblance.
Yeah.
I don't know, I can't see it, but... I think Buzz Lightyear is a little bit chubbier.
Yeah.
I wonder if Buzz Lightyear has hair. Because he's got that little thing on his head.
I don't know.
I mean, that's kind of one of the things they tried to deal with in the spin-off series, Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. They'd have sort of certain scenes where Buzz might be wearing, I don't know, a t-shirt and some jeans or something, but he'd still have that purple thing on his head.
Going to the beach. Yeah, I don't know. Is Buzz Lightyear actually human?
I guess technically he is.
I think he is.
I mean, he looks human. He just... I don't know, that's an interesting thing to think about, actually.
His spacesuit's the one that allows him to fly and shoot lasers, right?
Yeah.
See, but the strange thing is, obviously, the spacesuit is him, so I guess that kind of makes him non-human. Mm. In a way. It's too difficult to think about these things.
So now we've had the introduction of Buzz Lightyear and everything. Woody's feeling a bit threatened, and here he is proving that he can fly, and he does it with his eyes closed, which is good because then you've got the rest of the toys thinking that Buzz can actually fly, and Buzz himself thinks that he can fly while also demonstrating that.
Falling with style. I love that line.
Yeah.
That's actually the name of a Pixar Planet user.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the best things about Toy Story is actually the writing. I think it's a bit underestimated. Everyone sees Toy Story as the first CGI, you know, fully animated film. But the humor is actually in some ways quite adult sometimes, and it's got different levels, which is quite unique.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people also might think, oh, you know, Toy Story, it's about toys, it's a kids' film, but it's not. It's more, it really is for all ages, and there's quite a lot of deep themes in it.
Well, that, I think... Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, here we've got Strange Things by Randy Newman. This is one of the songs that is from Woody's point of view about feeling threatened and having his place in the toy hierarchy sort of challenged. And he doesn't want to give that up to a cooler toy.
And things are definitely changing, but definitely not for his benefit.
I feel kind of bad for him, actually, in a way. I mean, if you're a toy, that probably would be kind of hard to see another toy being treated better than you, I guess.
Well, he was still being played with, right? It's just that instead he's taking the laser blast instead of him delivering the gunshot.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the things that frustrates... Sorry,
you carry on.
Well, the thing that frustrates Woody the most is that Buzz actually thinks he's a spaceman. And Woody thinks that Buzz is doing that on purpose to annoy Woody. And it must be really frustrating for him, but under all that frustration and everything is hurt, as you can see by him sort of closing the lid on the toy box. That's all it really comes down to.
I was just saying, that's the thing with Buzz, though, that I never really got, because on the one hand, obviously, he does think that he's a space ranger, but on the other hand, he knows when to stop moving and be Andy's toy. So he's happy to kind of, you know, he knows that he shouldn't move when Andy's around or anything like that, but how would he know that if he thinks he's a space ranger?
Well, one thing I was wondering is, do toys only come alive like after they come out of the box or something? Because you think he would remember being made or being in his box or something like that before Andy got him and took him out.
Maybe toys only come alive when they have a child.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would remember themselves being built, but...
It might be similar to, like, when you're being born. People don't remember themselves being born, so a toy wouldn't remember themselves being made. And with why Buzz acts like a toy when Andy's around, there's a couple of theories. The first theory is that Buzz sees the other toys acting like toys, so he copies them to be safe. And the second theory is that he's a toy, but he thinks he's a space ranger, but at the end of the day, he is a toy, so his instinct tells him to act like a toy.
Yeah, maybe.
Those both make sense, actually, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Or could his toy form be his resting state?
Hmm.
I love it when this moment's reproduced in Toy Story 2.
I laughed so hard. I remember the first time I saw this. It was so funny.
Does anyone know how much money this movie made in, like, its opening day or weekend or whatever?
I think it was released over the Thanksgiving weekend in the United States, and it made something like 100-something million, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it broke a few records, though, and it did pretty well.
Yeah.
And it well enough to fund the Bug's Life. Sorry, carry on.
Well, apparently it cost, like, $30 million to make, so, and it obviously earned a lot more than it took to make, so that's good.
I think Sid Phillips, the surname's actually based on a Pixar employee that used to sort of take apart toys and do things like that and try and sort of build mutant toys.
definitely a prom child, that's it. What parent would give him explosives just to use them to blow up toys?
I think he orders them through the mail.
Does his mom know?
I assume she works or something, is out during the day, because I think if you heard explosions in your back garden, you'd be a bit kind of, there's something not quite right here.
Yeah, I think the mum, you never really see her, Sid's mum, but she's around, but I don't know. If my boy had the room that Sid did, I mean, well, that wouldn't even happen. I mean, he seems to sort of be left to his own devices.
Maybe she's just really oblivious.
I think I prefer Sid to Andy, though.
Yeah, me too.
Andy's a bit too goody-two-shoes.
Yeah, something sort of always annoys me about Andy. I think he's just too much of a good kid, but Sid's really, he's a bad kid, but he's interesting to watch. I wonder if that, magic 8-ball would have been classed as a toy or would have just been classed as a normal object? Because, I mean, that's kind of weird if you think about it.
I don't know.
Yeah, how can you... Where's the line between inanimate objects and actual toys?
This is an homage to Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then we've got the Luxo Jr. Lamp there, pushing Buzz out the window, and also the Wilhelm scream, as Buzz's, which is, appears in a lot of movies. So, three references within 30 seconds of each other.
But the only difference with the Luxo lamp is it's red.
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't have guessed that that was a Luxo Jr. lamp if...
Yeah, it's the lamp from Luxo Jr., but the lamp itself is Luxo, the dad, but it's red. So would he plan to simply get Buzz stuck between the desk and the wall, but it sort of went a bit wrong and he ended up accidentally... Yeah.
He still got rid of Buzz, so mission accomplished for him.
Well, now his friends are turning on him, though, so it's not really a good thing.
We just saw a box there on the side. It said Eggman Movers. I think that's a reference to Ralph Eggleston. We see that later on in the film again, I think, as well.
Yeah, that's it.
At first I thought it might be a reference to Eggman from the Sonic games, but then I remembered that Sonic was still relatively new when this came out, so it probably couldn't have been.
And they didn't call him Eggman yet. He was still Robotnik.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got some video game lovers on it.
There's the license plate on her car. It says on the front it says A113. And that's an inside joke among various animation producers and stuff. Cause it's at the Cal Arts. There was I don't know what exactly it is, but it's just an inside joke.
Yeah. I noticed it was in, The Brave Little Toaster as well. I was just watching it one day and I noticed the door on the apartment building where the main guy lives said A113 and I was like freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, it's A113!
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago I was watching an episode of American Dad and on the license plate of somebody's car for like a brief second it said A113 and I was freaked out because I was like, that can't be a coincidence, but I guess the makers of American Dad must have had a connection to CalArts.
A113 is in every Pixar film. Sometimes it appears more than once. It's one of the running inside jokes, Pixar in jokes.
I love the bug goo. Doesn't it just look so real?
And you guys also noticed that on the gas station they're at, it's Dynaco.
Yeah, I think it's the same one they used in Cars, probably.
Right.
Yeah, I just recently rewatched this film, and I was freaking out that it was called Dynaco, because I didn't actually realize that was a reference to Toy Story and Cars. Come to think of it, I really went quite a few years without seeing this film. I think I might have seen it a few years ago, but I didn't really like it that much for some reason. But the more I watch it, the more I learn to appreciate it, and now I really do think it's a really great film.
If you see the company behind them right now, it says Virtual Realty. That I think that's the same company that are the same people that are selling Andy's house, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice little pun there too.
Yeah,
little pun on virtual reality.
I always read that sign when it's in front of the house as virtual reality. I don't know. So now we've got the deluded Buzz thinking that he's got to get back to Gamma Quadrant Sector 4. And then we've got Woody really frustrated with him because he just wants to knock him out of it.
Yeah. Coming up here is my favorite line in the entire movie. Right here.
It's probably one of the most iconic ones. I think this is what everybody remembers when they think of Toy Story.
Yeah.
Toy Story was also going to be called You Are a Toy. But I have to say I like Toy Story better. Doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
And what he calls Buzz a loony right before he leaves.
My Star Trek hat sign there.
It's weird. I always thought he said, "Well, good riddance, you baloney."
Why would he say that?
I don't know. When I was 5 years old, that's when I first met
him. I can hear that. Yeah.
Now, here's the Pizza Planet truck, which has appeared in every Pixar film, or almost every Pixar film, depending on whether you think it's in The Incredibles. And they're just going to try to get themselves back to Andy's house.
I think searching for the Pizza Planet truck is probably something every Pixar fan does with every new Pixar film that comes out. Whenever a new one comes out, it always seems like there's someone ready to look for the Pizza Planet truck.
Yeah, you can see all the little Pixar fans in the cinema sitting there like a little notebook.
Yeah.
And usually it's hard to concentrate on the Pixar film you're watching because you're just thinking to yourself, oh, you know, this is such a great movie, and then you're looking for the A113 or the Pizza Planet truck, and then you don't really end up enjoying the story. But, I mean, you do, but...
Well, that's what I always end up for.
What I do is, when I first watch a Pixar movie, I just watch for enjoyment, and then the second time I watch it, I look for every single in-joke tradition.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
I was kind of disappointed in WALL-E when I was looking for the Pizza Planet truck, because I really like looking for it, and it was just right there, and I was like, oh, well, that's good.
I think, was Pizza Planet meant to be some kind of putting pizza place where they played golf or something?
Pizza Putt.
Yep. Pizza Putt. The lady who says the white zone is for eating pizza only, that's referenced in the second Toy Story in the airport when she says something like the white zone is for immediate loading and stuff.
I have to say, why haven't they made a place like Pizza Planet in real life yet? I mean, personally, I think this place... Well, I know they've made, like, Chuck E. Cheese and stuff like that, but... Personally, I think this place is awesome. I mean, like, I'm 15, and I would hang out there.
Well, I researched on the internet, and they actually have a Pizza Planet at Walt Disney Studios. I've only seen photos of it, but it's pretty faithful recreation and everything, and they've got the big the rocket ship claw game in the middle of the room, and games, and you know, pizza.
Wow.
And it looks really good. I've only seen a few photos, but if you ever have a chance to go, you should go.
And you said this is in Disneyland, right?
Walt Disney Studios.
Studios. Thank you. Okay.
I must check out this place one day then.
Because if it's in Disneyland, I think I've seen it before, but I've always passed by it.
Well, there may also be, like if you look up in the yellow pages, a Pizza Planet. I know there's one in Australia, a Pizza Planet pizza franchise, but it's not running anymore, but that's pretty cool. I bet you there's a lot of Pizza Planets as well that just share the name.
They're probably not as awesome as this one, though.
No. If you guys had to sort of say the general theme of the movie, what words would you describe? Use to describe the theme of the movie.
There's something so, I don't know, like,
it's
homely about it.
Like, right? It's different for each character, as in Woody, you can't be replaced, even though it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buzz, just because you can't, not who you think you are, that doesn't mean you're not, can't be loved, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, my brain's totally... Yeah.
But I think it's something
that we can all love. I know one for Sid. Don't mess with toys.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I think if I had to sort of sum it up, it would be friendship and also insecurity and also about not making quick judgments about people. Just Woody not making quick judgments about Buzz. And also Buzz and Woody not making quick judgments about the mutant toys. For a supposed kids movie, it's got a lot of deep themes, which is why I think it's such a classic movie. Everyone can relate to the insecurity there.
Yeah.
I like how with the LGMs, they also kind of show that Buzz isn't the only kind of toy out there that really thinks that he is, you know, what he's designed to be. Like the way the LGMs think of the claw as some kind of, you know, selecting thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose if you're inside that case all day and the only thing that sort of comes down is the claw to get you out, then you would think of it as sort of a god, I guess.
If I was inside that rocket for, like, all day, I would die.
There's one thing in this film that I think perhaps looks slightly unrealistic. It's Sid's dog. Just a little bit.
It looks kind of weird. I can't really put my finger on it.
Maybe
it's the
eyes. Maybe it looks too ferocious.
I think it might be the eyes, actually. I think they might be, like, too close together, because I'm pretty sure his dog is a bull terrier, and their eyes aren't that close together, so I don't know, maybe that's what bothers me about him.
He is going to be a heart surgeon when he grows up, isn't he? Or some kind of...
Hope not.
Everyone always gives, I mean, you know, you might watch this movie and think of Sid as a really nasty character, but I think he's actually pretty clever and creative. He's just the outlet and the medium that he uses to express his creativity. It's just a bit different, but if you actually listen to what Sid and when he's interrogating the toys, he makes up stories to go along with him interrogating the toys, and he's actually a pretty clever kid.
Yeah.
He's an artist.
Well, it's not like he knows the toys are alive or anything either, at least until the end of the movie. So it's not like he's just being mean to them for no reason. He just doesn't know.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it was, I'm not sure if it was John Lasseter, but one of the Pixarians, and they said that actually they, as children, they were more like Sid than they were like Andy. They'd all be kind of, you know, ripping things apart and, you know, doing things they shouldn't. This bit definitely used to scare me when I was younger.
Yeah, me too. In fact, my mom always never really liked me watching this movie when I was younger because she said it would scare me, this part.
He always reminds me of David Hasselhoff. I really don't know why.
Who?
The little roller guy with the head and the hand.
Ah,
oh, that's him.
Yeah, that's true.
So funny.
The head.
Clever. Really clever. They're animals. When I first saw this movie, I thought all the toys in Sid's room were creepy as... Oh my god, but now that I'm seeing it over and over again, I'm thinking, wow, I would like to play with this one day.
Yeah.
I like Whiskers, even though you never get to see the cat. still one of my favorite characters.
I think he should make an appearance in Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
Whiskers pops up, hi.
Should make a Whiskers fan club.
We don't even know what it looks like.
Yeah. You know, I always thought that Whiskers would look like Squeaker from The Incredibles.
Yeah, me too.
I have an image of that cat from Bolt, I think. I'm not sure.
Oh,
I think it's a cat. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I just always get that image in my head.
Yeah.
After Bolt, you know, was released. Obviously not before.
Just this interrogation here, I'm pretty sure it's based on Star Wars, but just sort of shows how creative he is.
I can only imagine how much pain would he be going through right now.
And just
oh my gosh.
I'm not sure, do they feel pain?
I think they do.
I don't think they feel pain. Well,
is
actually,
that scream
they probably do.
Just because of, oh my gosh, I've got a hole in my head, or maybe it is pain. But it's like in Toy Story 2 when his arm comes off. Obviously he's shocked by it, but he doesn't seem to be in a lot of pain.
I think the general...
The gas station when Buzz closes... Sorry.
No, go on.
At the gas station, when Buzz closed his helmet on Woody's hand, he started screaming, so... One can assume that...
Well, it could be that they can feel what is happening to them, like, but they don't feel pain. Like, when your leg is sort of numb, you can feel people pinching it, but it doesn't hurt, sort of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the hallway here is based on one of the carpet texture from The Shining from 1980. Mm. Something I never would have realized unless somebody told me.
Yeah, I've never seen The Shining, so I wouldn't have caught on.
Even if you
have, about the carpet.
I think the thing that makes Scud sort of look a bit wrong is the way he moves. But that's just my general hunch. I mean, still, it looks pretty good.
It's the eyes. The eyes, I think. They just look at those. They look, yeah. I don't criticize you, Pixar, or anything. We love you, really. But
Yeah,
we don't mean to.
I think what bothers me about Scud is probably his teeth. It looks too much like a shark.
Oh, this commercial. I love it. I just love how over the top it is. And in comparison to real life, it's just so hilarious. And also the thing I love at the end is the big, when the wings fly out like 10 times, it's just so funny.
I love it when the kid knocks over the cans.
I just realized on the TV right there, you don't see it now, but a few seconds ago, they had a wrench on the knob, so they had, I just noticed it now.
Oh yeah, I see it now.
And also, Al's Toy Barn.
Of course, me.
Yeah, that's
I'm sorry,
cool.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say they go back and, use that Al's Toy Barn for Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
That's probably why Toy Story 2 is actually one of the better sequels out there, because there's a lot of continuity. They don't just kind of make, you know, they treat it like a whole new film, but they don't kind of, you know what I mean? Like, they do connect the two.
And then make sure that Toy Story and Toy Story 2 is in the same universe.
Well, everyone I talk to agrees that Toy Story 2 is definitely an exception to when it comes to sequels, because most sequels usually aren't very good, but I really do think Toy Story 2 is just a great movie and probably one of the best sequels out there. I love this moment right here. It's just so powerful.
Yeah.
And yet so sad as well.
Yeah.
I cried when I first saw it.
Oh.
I was like 5 years old back then, so... Because part of you wants it to fly, but then reality kicks in.
And the music just so, you know, it really brings it to life, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
See, is a pain there? I think I'm going to stick with the idea that they don't feel pain.
I think they feel mental pain, but not physical pain.
Well, I'm sure he's feeling pain right now because he thought he was a space ranger, and then all the things he believed in just got shattered.